Welcome back to Dave's Gone By. I'm Dave Lefkowitz, and very happy to be talking to lead guitarist of a band that some have called the next great American rock and roll band, even though they've been around since 1999. They're Buck Cherry. They've just released their fifth studio album called All Night Long, which gives you an idea of the kind of album that it is. Keith Nelson, lead guitarist, could you tell us, it's a party record. What does that mean to you?
Well, it means it's the kind of record that you put on when you're getting ready to have some fun, you know. We like to make records for Saturday night, not Sunday morning.
Oh, yeah. And is that the kind of music you mostly listen to, or do you have a whole wide range of stuff that you're influenced by?
I mean, what I personally listen to is, you know, all kinds of music. I think you'd be pretty surprised at some of my favorite artists, but when I play it, you know, in front of people, I want to be the soundtrack to a good time.
A soundtrack to a good time. That's really cool. I know I did an interview with you where you mentioned James Brown as being a pretty important influence. And I think from the music we can all hear AC/DC and stuff like Aerosmith. And do you feel, one of the questions that I read an interview with you about was when you're crafting tunes, like the band's most famous song was Crazy Bitch. And someone asked, well, do you always feel like you have to do another Crazy Bitch? And you said something real interesting about that. What are your thoughts about crafting something that sounds like Buck Cherry but isn't repeating yourself?
Well, I never feel that the pressure to kind of revisit something that's been successful for us. You know, I think that we're a rock and roll band, and we're always going to be a rock and roll band. And my favorite rock and roll bands are able to kind of lean to the left, lean to the right, and it always still sounds like them and still rock and roll, but it could have different flavors to it. And I think if you look at our influences, they're everything from James Brown and Prince and you know, Muddy Waters, Howlin' Wolf, to the Sex Pistols and Metallica and Rage Against the Machine. Those are all bands that we all listen to and influence us. So as a rock and roll band, you know, there's some leeway in there to kind of play around. I don't think we would ever pigeonhole ourselves into saying we have to sound a certain way, but I think ultimately when we start playing and Josh starts singing, you know, it has a sound to it.
Yeah, you're of course talking about lead vocalist Josh Todd. The other members of the band are Stevie D, Jim Ashurst, and Xavier Muriel. Has the band had many permutations since you guys reformed a few years ago? Have you stayed that same core?
It's the same five guys. Yeah, when we kind of reformed, it was really our idea was to put together a bunch of guys that were really capable of all having the same headspace and all really wanting the same thing. And then, you know, the personalities were really the guiding force of that. It really wasn't so much about who was the best musician. It was really about who makes the best teammate to be on a team with and do 200 shows a year with.
Wow.
It just so happens that we got lucky that we got very phenomenal musicians in the band. And it's more of a band than the previous lineup ever was, and it's more successful, and it's been around longer, and it's played more shows. So in my heart and in my head, this is the band.
Has touring gotten harder or easier or the same since you've been, you know, doing this for 15, 20 years now? So, I mean, as you get, I mean, it's an obvious question, but as you get a bit older, is it like, oh, back on the bus, or is it a party bus? You can't wait.
Well, you know, I'll tell you what it is. It's been very interesting to watch our career grow, our fan base grow, and as a result of that, it's been very, very exciting to be in this band and be on the road. The traveling never was all that fun. It still isn't, you know, being in a different place every day and you know, boarding airplanes at 6 a.m. after playing a show the night before. That's a little tiring, but I mean, we get to make music for a living, so we're very lucky, yeah. And I think we're all very much in a place of gratitude with the amazing jobs that we have.
Keith Nelson, do you have family? Do you have a wife and kids and all that kind of thing? And how do they deal, if you do, with what you're doing?
I mean, we all have family in varying degrees. Some of us have kids, some of us are married. I think that the people in our lives know how passionate we are about what we do, and they're very supportive, and they share So they're very supportive of what we do. So I think they realize how important what we do is to us. And, you know, we couldn't do it without their support.
Are there different rules of the road, though? Like, when you guys go away, is it almost like going to a bachelor party for 4 months, and then you come home and nobody asks any questions, or...?
It's everything you think it is and more.
Oh, my God!
And less.
Oh. Oh, come on, I want some stories, man. I want some anecdotes.
And sometimes it's not as crazy as you think it is. But, you know, we're men on the road. Things happen. Oh. Situations go down. And, we like to have a good time.
Well, speaking of which, we're obviously in Greeley, Colorado. You guys played the Greeley Stampede just a couple of months ago. Any remembrances, any thoughts about Greeley, Colorado at all, or was it a blur?
No, I remember, what I remember about that, I remember getting some really cool Western gear. I remember there was a lot of livestock around.
Yeah.
And there was the smell of manure was in the air for sure. We had a really good time at that show. It was a phenomenal crowd, and it was a great turnout. And you know, we're happy to go there and do what we do. You know, we take great pride in getting to some out of the way places where people don't normally get rock and roll bands, and going up and doing what we do. We get a lot of support from it. We get a lot of people turning out for it.
Yeah, no, it's great. I mean, anybody can play Denver, but to come to Greeley, I mean, that's we're grateful for that. Do you guys write songs?
We've always done that. We've played so many out of the way places and you know, manufactured stages on the spot and figured out how to power it up and get it going. And the people are remembering that.
Yeah. Oh, hello. Did I miss you? Hello?
No, I'm here.
Oh, great, great. Can I ask, do you guys write songs on the road, or do you have to stop touring, go home, do your thing, and then regroup to get the creative energy to write new songs?
Well, a lot of the genesis of the ideas, you know, the kernel, the seed that sprouts into the song, a lot of those happen on the road. Like, collect riffs, or Josh will come up with a melody line or a song title. That stuff's all collected while we're out on the road. But I prefer to actually write when I get home and kind of put that cap on. Otherwise, I'm on the road with in a different mindset, you know.
And typical songwriter kind of question: when you write words first, music first, you never know until the song's being written.
It always happens differently. Sometimes Josh will come to me with a melody and a couple of lines for a song, and he'll say, you know, I want to write this song, and I got this bit for it, and then I'll take what he gives me, and I'll run off, and I'll come up with some music and come back to him, and we start the song that way. Sometimes it'll start with me coming up with some, you know, a bit of music and sending it over to Josh, and then he writes something to it. So it really happens. There's no set way. There's no formula for us to write a song. Just sometimes it's a bass line.
Right.
The bass player comes in with. So no matter where the song starts, though, it always ends up with the five of us in a room together working it out.
Cool. Let me ask also musically of Keith Nelson of Buck Cherry, when did you know that you could play music, and when did you realize you wanted to be a musician for good, for real, for career?
Oh, man, you know, I guess when I moved to California, I come from a really small town in Pennsylvania outside of Pittsburgh, and when I moved to California and I was like 23 years old, is kind of when I had made the decision, all right, I want to pursue this actively. I don't just want to be in a local band playing covers and throwing in a few original songs on the side. I really want to pursue this dream. And that's when I did. I moved to California in pursuit of that. So that's probably the moment when I decided that's what I wanted to do. There was a lot of lean, hard years after making that decision.
Any regrets?
I never took my eye off the goal.
I mean, I don't mean the regrets now, but like, were there a year or two when you said, you know what, if I don't make it by this date, I'm going to quit and become a truck driver or something? Or was there never even a thought of
it? You know, I guess when I first made a decision to make that move, you know, I said I'll give it a year or two. I know I definitely said that. But then once I kind of got headed in that direction, there was no quitting. I mean, if this wasn't going on now, I'd probably still be working a day job trying to make this all happen.
to ask, did you, I mean, when you were a teenager and stuff, and maybe older than that, trying to support yourself before you got gigs, what are some day jobs that you did?
Man, I did everything. I did a lot of manual labor, landscaping. When I lived on the East Coast, landscaping and tree work. I put roofs on houses. I worked retail jobs. Once I moved to California, I worked at a really big guitar store there. I did telephone sales. I delivered pizza once. Whatever I had to do to avoid getting a real job. Whatever allowed me to pursue music.
Seriously, I mean, I once interviewed Joy Behar, from TV, and you'd be amazed at the number of jobs there, mostly teaching jobs, but she did everything under the sun for years, trying to make a go at comedy. Yeah. There's no shame in it.
Like, actors take jobs that they can go and still do auditions when they have the job, and musicians take jobs that allow them to make rehearsals and play gigs, and that's just kind of what you do.
Speaking of money, one thing that I was really interested that you said in another interview was that you had a very kind of zen perspective on downloading. Like, this week we just learned that LimeWire is going under, with the whole downloading thing. And you said, look, you kind of understand the nature of wanting to have free music. You've done it, but at the same time, a band has to make a living. How you feel now that the real paradigm of selling music has changed?
I mean, it really has changed. If you look at the way records sell now, they just don't sell like they used to. And as someone that depends on that for their livelihood to keep the lights on in my house, it's a bummer. But as somebody that wants their music to get to as many people as they can, it forces me to look at it another way. As a fan of music, if I was a kid and I was broke and I was a fan of music, I would get it however I could get it. When before all that was going on, I was dubbing cassette tapes off of friends and sharing music the same way. So I understand that. I think what it's all done ultimately is it's made your live performance that much more special, because that's something that can't be traded as a file, and you can't download that. You have to be physically there. So that's, I think, raised the stakes as a live band to really perform and make each performance special.
And I'm curious, you're on an independent...
We have time for one more question, sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry, what's that?
We have time for one more question.
Let's make this the overall generic question, but you always say you're a rock and roll band, and you're distinguishing rock and roll from what we might call rock. How do you define rock and roll, Keith Nelson, versus rock?
I think rock and roll has a swagger to it. I think it's something that you can not only pump your fist to, but you can also shake your ass to. If you watch a rock club when somebody puts on You Shook Me All Night Long by AC/DC, watch what happens to the dance floor. People get up and they move to it. It's something that guys can get into, and it's something that girls can get into, and to me, that's what rock and roll is all about. It's not just about taking out your aggressions, it's also about having a little swagger to it, a little bit of attitude.
Keith Nelson of Buck Cherry, I want to thank you so much for being on UMC Radio on Dave's Gone By, and best wishes to the band, and I hope everybody comes to see you when you guys are back in town. You're going to be at the Fillmore in Denver on January 27th.